There was something somebody preached to me many years ago about the washing of feet. You know, Jesus came and was washing his disciples' feet. And when he came to Peter, he said, Peter looked at him and said, you will not wash my feet. You know, that's what Peter said. Jesus now said to him, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in me. Peter said, in that case, not my feet alone. John, bring a bucket of water. Me or Gakuku bath me completely. And Jesus said, that's not necessary. He said, he that has had a bath, do you understand? He that has been washed does not need to be washed again apart from his feet. That is, this was the interpretation that was given to me then. That because you are a believer, all right, you have been washed. But as you go about every day, why did the feet need to be washed? What happened was that in the culture they had, there were no tarred roads, all right? What you find is that somebody, and people moved around a lot wearing sandals. So if you got to somebody's house and you knocked on the door, somebody, I read this from somewhere, it's one of the responses they used to give. Instead of saying coming, they'll tell you, wash your feet. Wash your feet is just a simple way of telling you coming, because this is a concept. Your feet are dusty. Before you step into the clean house, you wash them outside. So they tended to have water near the door. That was why Jesus said to that Pharisee, when that woman was bathing his feet with tears and all of that, he said, since I came to this house, you did not give me water for my feet. It was customary. That's how you welcomed people. Do you get my point? So their feet got dusty from what? Everyday activity. The activities of the day caused dust to settle on their feet. What does that mean? Your interactions with men, they cause dust to settle on your spiritual feet. You come to church and the word is preached powerfully. And you discover that because you have been cleansed in Christ Jesus, that word really works in your heart. Believe me, you are clean thoroughly. You're not covetous. You're not afraid of tomorrow. Then you go home and your father calls you. Mike, my son, sit down. Your mates, by the time you finish the lecture for 1 hour, you feel like a failure. You're an instant failure. That is, the man finishes. You know, I told you this joke once. That once, I drove down to my father-in-law's place. They're having a prayer, a Thanksgiving. So somebody, another of the people in the extended family came that day and bought a new car. Maybe not brand new, but very new. Get my point? So now I came to give my father-in-law, as a big Ogapatapata of the family, the extended family, to come and pray over the car. So my father-in-law just called me and said, Banky, come. You are the pastor. Come and pray. So I went off there. The moment I saw the car and they opened the bonnet, I felt poor instantly. On the spot, I suddenly felt poor. The car was shining. I saw the car that I drove down. I compared it to. I felt instantly poor. Well, for me, it was a joke because it's just a temporary thing. That's dust. One set for my feet. I blew this thing off. Come on. Claire, for where? But it happens every day. You leave church, you're so empowered, you're feeling strong. Then you go for, you say your school is doing old boys as you arrive. Lincoln Navigator arrive. S600 arrive. Toyota Camry Reserve arrive. Everybody arrive, except say, brothers, as you arrive like this. Now, bike, stop me for here. And I hear the meeting, they are gone. Believe me, you know, these kind of things happen. All your friends have married, they are coming with children. You know, those kind of things, they do happen. They happen. So Jesus said, this is how we handle it. It's called the washing of feet. You return again to the place of the word of God. You are washed totally. It's just those experiences that polluted your thinking. Suddenly you felt like a failure again. You felt like you've made the wrong decision. Are you getting what I'm saying? I remember one of my friends told me once that after he discovered with some senior people about what life was after leaving school, said that night he cried and cried. Now, before, he was a man of great faith, believing that great things are going to happen in life. By the time people finished telling him stories, he started crying. They didn't know. They didn't know how much they wrecked his faith. He cried that night and said, like, God, is this what my life is going to be? It happens. A friend of mine came to tell me his plans for life once. By the time he finished to explain, I told him, why are you bothering to do this? By the time he finished telling me everything, I realized how foolish and stupid and selfish I have been in so-called faith that I have. Because he told me that, look, why am I going to do all of this? He said, look, maybe you don't have the kind of problem I have. My sister will need to have surgery. Somebody has to come up with the money. This one will happen. This one will happen. My parents, this. By the time he finished, he said, look, the reason we have to do this, but boy, is that I need the money. He said, maybe he said, you are lucky. I've gone a bit further ahead, and you are closer to your redemption than when you first began. As he was talking, I was thinking that all the ones that are possessing faith and all of that is because I have not been worried about other people. You know, by the time he left, the Holy Spirit gave me a word because I felt bad. Gosh, that guy broke my heart. And the Holy Spirit said, I remember very well, clearly, the Holy Spirit said to my heart, except a man hates his father, his mother, his brother, his sister, he cannot be my disciple. I said, Lord, fine. So, you see, it's you that's causing this selfishness. You are the reason why I'm this stupid. You are the reason why I'm this selfish. You are the reason why I'm not as worried about other people as my friend is. You have to be careful. Listen, the love of men is one of the strongest distractions from the love of God. Listen, I don't have time to explain it. The only reason Paul did what annoyed God in the Bible was because of the love of Israel. I don't have time to explain it. God loses Paul. Paul. Etu Paulo. Hey! God collected and put him in a cage and locked the cage and did not open that cage until the day Paul was going to die. And he told them, guys, give me his head. Only one thing he did wrong. You know, someone will read some things in the Bible, don't interpret it well. I wish that I was cut away from my brethren. God said, who sent you? Are you Jesus Christ? The man that needed to be cut away from you for your brethren's sake has been cut away. I not send you that one. You are my apostle to the Gentiles. Let me not go to that side. What am I trying to explain? That's what they call the washing of feet. Things happen every day. What are you trying to do? Distract you from the consecration you have made to God. Then Peter said simple, you come back home and you repent. Look, that's why John said that if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, is constantly cleansing us. It's not as if we are sinners. There's a difference between a sinner and a man who has a shortcoming in the presence of God. It's a world of difference. Jacob was not perfect, but he loved the Lord so much, God said, I alone, I kept him. Do you get my point? And there was no other God with him. With all the mistakes he was making. With all the wayo he was playing. Do you understand what I'm explaining? That's the difference between a sinner and somebody who is a believer. It doesn't mean, so when John said that, if he said we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Yes, what he's saying is right. If he said everything you do is perfect, you are fooling yourself. He said, but if we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Listen, once we are totally in the place where God wants us to be, Peter said, then a time of refreshing will depart from the presence of God and then manifest in our lives. Listen, every time of distressing, you like my English, every time of distress that comes into your life, don't be angry with the time. You go back and go and check for the place of repentance that is necessary. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you go back, check for the place of repentance that is necessary. Knowing that once you have repented, converted, and that shortcoming has been washed away, next thing that's happening is what? The time of refreshing. We depart from God's presence. Like we read from Isaiah chapter 40. It said, then the glory of God will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. I've discovered something I've been saying the last few Saturdays, that God does not fail anybody. Never. He does not ever fail anybody. If you look at life very well, look, God doesn't ever fail anybody. A lot of people say they are trusting in God. If God appeared to have failed, then they were not trusting in him. And when you hear statements later, you will know that they were not trusting in God. Somebody just told them that that's another place to get quick results. Why? Like that book said, just tell them that life is not the way it's supposed to be. That the discipline to grow, the discipline to wait, the discipline to... In fact, I quoted something for you last Saturday that they said concerning Henry Ford, that in Henry Ford was speaking concerning J.T. Edison, that Thomas Edison did not believe in the word impossible. He said impossible was only thing... That impossible things are those things that we have not yet found the way to do. He said, never believe in impossible. So what he does is to use time and discipline and patience to gather the information to make the impossible possible. He said, this is how you know a fool. A fool does not know how to make impossible possible. Just say it's not impossible and he tries to do it without knowing how to do it. Do you get what I'm explaining by that? I'm just digressing a bit. I'm bringing out something here. What God does for us as we believers, all right, is that He builds us gradually. God does not ever fail anybody. That's what I'm trying to explain. He never fails anybody. What happens is that people start believing that which is not right. Somebody gives them a false hope. God didn't say it was like that. God didn't say, I'll bless you tomorrow. No. I blessed you long ago, but the manifestation, I need something. I need time to convert. He said, walk before me and be perfect. And then the blessing will manifest. Peter said, you do these things, then the time of refreshing will certainly be manifested. Most people who claim they are believing God, they were not believing God. Somebody just promised them another way. That's why I refer to that book. To get something, they don't have to follow the process that God wants them to go through. That's why they claim they were in church. And after 5 years, God does not do anything for them. And they start this thing is not worth it. I told you once, one of my seniors told me, saw him reading a Bible. He said, yeah, Christian. I said, yes. He said, I used to be one too, but it was not worth it. I looked at him and said, sir, what do you, I was the house officer, I was my MO. I said, what was not worth what? What is it that was not worth what? They wanted to chase girls like your colleagues, and the Bible didn't allow you to do it. And what payment were you expecting? No, it's true. What payment were you expecting? He said, it was not worth it. The goat head at that time was sleeping with two girls, waiting for one to quarrel with him so he can marry the other one. That's why I can tell him it was not worth it. I said, it's when they give you wrong expectations. What God did not promise. God promised a lot of things with patience. He said, walk before me and be perfect, and then a time of refreshing will leave my presence and into your life. I hope you get what I'm saying. Now, so what's our prayer for today? All right, what we're going to do again is to make this prayer of consecration. All right, we began it last week to God, declaring that He's the only one we follow. I was saying that that's what prayer does. Look, if you can control your tongue, you control your life. That's what James told us. If you say, God, I will follow all the time, the time when you want to disfollow Him. Do you like that English? You know, I keep on inventing words. When you want to refuse to follow Him, all right? You will discover that it's a spirit that moves you back to the center of following God. Why? Because again and again, in sincerity, you declared in His presence that only you I will follow. Are you following the point I'm making there? That's the way it works. So the Lord is good. But then we'll still be able to take our 20 minutes or so of praying. And if you're ready for that, let's just rise to our feet. The focus of everything we are praying about today, again, is what we began last time. It's a matter of consecration. That God, only you I will follow. All right, so what we'll take the first one from the book of Psalms. It's quite long, as usual. Can I print this one next time if I fine-tune it properly? Took time out to write them. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who will not walk in the counsel of the wicked and all of that. So let's begin from that. And I want to, let's first just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for the power of your word. Thank you. Just say, Father, I thank you. Thank you because of the understanding you have given me again tonight. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's begin to pray. Say, I will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. I want you to say, like you believe it, talk to yourself and talk to the Lord, all right? You're not just echoing what I'm saying. You're talking to yourself and talking to the Lord. Now, so you're making the dedication to God. And I say, I will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. I will not follow their advice, their plans, and their purposes. I consecrate my life to walking with God at all times. I will not stand in the path of sinners, nor relax and rest in the midst of scoffers. Say, my delight will be in the law of the Lord. And in His law I will meditate day and night. Let's say that again. My delight will be in the law of the Lord. And in His law I will meditate day and night. I want you to say it loud. And in His law I will meditate day and night. Yeah, I like that. I prefer that. Let me hear that. I'm not here alone, all right? He said, I will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever I do, I prosper. So I will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, and in whatever I do, I prosper. I want us to pray this prayer. Say, O Lord, lead me in your righteousness, so that the world and all that is in it will not conquer me. Let's say it again. Say, O Lord, lead me in your righteousness, so that the world and all that is in it will not conquer me. For in Christ Jesus I have been set free, and I have victory. In Christ Jesus I have been set free. In Christ Jesus I have my victory. Make your way clear before me. Teach me what to do and where to do it. Teach me where to go and where not to go. I will trust in you at all times, O Lord, and never follow the way of the world. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave, and they only flatter with their tongue. That means they deceive. They try to make you go the way and promise things that really cannot deliver. He said, for this cause, Lord, I will only trust in you at all times and never follow the way of the world. He said, now, people like, he said, in the multitude of their transgression, trust them out from me, O Lord. That is, in the multitude of the transgressions of the world, trust them out from my presence, O Lord. For they are rebellious against you. He said, but all who take refuge in you will be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Say, Lord, you are my shelter. Let me rejoice ever in you. Because you have blessed me as your righteous man, and you have surrounded me with favor and as with a shield. I want to declare, say, I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. Now let's take this prayer of David. Said, to thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O Lord, my God, in you I trust. He said, I will not be ashamed because I trust only in you. And my enemies will never rejoice over me. Say, indeed, none of those who wait for you will ever be ashamed. Say, make me know your ways, O Lord. Now, that's a serious prayer. Say, you know, we are praying our prayer of consecration. That's why I'm leading us all this particular, in all these words that we are speaking this particular way. Say, make me know your ways, O Lord. It's a prayer. You are making a request from God. Say, Lord, make me know your ways. As you reveal them to your servant Moses. Teach me your paths. Teach me, lead me in your truth and teach me. Because you are the God of my salvation. For in you, except for you, I will wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness towards me. Just listen to this. I just want to read this one out. The Bible says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs the righteous in the... He said the sinner, actually, that is a repentant sinner, in the way that he should go. All right? So declare. He said, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs me in the way that I should go. He leads me in the path of justice. He leads me in the path of loving kindness. See, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth. See, my eyes are continually toward the Lord. Therefore, he will pluck my feet out of the trap. Therefore, you pluck my feet out of the trap that the world will set for me. Because my eyes are constantly towards the Lord. Say, Lord, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. For I wait for thee all the time. Because you continually are my Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Say, my soul shall make his boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and rejoice. Now listen to this. I will not be envious because of anybody. Now I'm taking it from Psalm 37. I will not be fretful because of anybody. Now I want to make this declaration. We have preached about it. But say it now. Say, my eyes will not assess my life by another person's standards. Say, my eyes will not be set on somebody else's success. Now listen to this. There's a scripture that goes like this. I want you to repeat. It said, thou will keep in perfect peace. Say it. Say, thou will keep in perfect peace.
Thou will keep in perfect peace.
The mind that is stayed on thee.
The mind that is stayed on thee.
Because it trusts in thee. Now listen to this. That's the reason why a lot of people are not at peace. Their mind is not stayed on God. It's stayed on something else. Are you getting my point? Their mind is stayed on something else that somebody else has achieved. So David said in Psalm 37, I'm paraphrasing it, said, I will not be fretful, all right, because of anybody. He said, if you read literally, he said, do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Do you get the point? I'm just adapting it. Don't let your eyes, all right, set itself on anybody else's success or anybody else's life. That is what takes peace away from your soul. Therefore, let us say it again. Say, I will not fret because of anyone. My eyes will not assess my life because of using another person's standard. I will not be envious toward those who are following their own ways. For I know they will quickly wither like the grass. And they will fade like the green herb. I will always trust in the Lord. And I will constantly do that which is right. I will always trust in the Lord. And I will constantly do that which is good. See, I will constantly dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. See, I delight myself in the Lord. And he will give me the desires of my heart. I totally commit my way to the Lord. And I trust totally in him. Say, he will bring forth my righteousness as the light and my judgment as the noonday. Say, I will rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Say it again. I will rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Say, I will not fret because of him who prospers in his own way. I will not fret because of the man who carries on his own godless schemes. Without regard to the plan of God for his life. Say, I have ceased from anger. Declare it, I have ceased from anger. Say, I have ceased from anger. And I have forsaken wrath. I have forsaken the feeling of frustration. I refuse to fret. Say it, I refuse to fret. I refuse to worry. I refuse to be afraid. I trust in the Lord always. I refuse to fret because it only leads to wrongdoing. And I know that evildoers will be cut off. Therefore, I refuse to fret. I know that evildoers will be cut off. Therefore, I refuse to fret because it only leads to evildoing. Now listen to the Bible says that, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Now I want you to declare, say, I wait for the Lord. Therefore, I will inherit the land. And I will delight myself in abundant prosperity. Say it again. I wait for the Lord. Therefore, I will inherit the land. And I will delight myself in abundant prosperity. See, I have waited patiently for the Lord. And he has brought me out of the pit of darkness. Say, the Lord is my trust. The Lord is my trust. I have refused to turn to the proud. And to all those who laugh into falsehood. I have refused to turn to the proud. In the name of Jesus Christ. Declare it again. Say, I wait for the Lord. Therefore, I will inherit the land. And I will delight myself in abundant prosperity. Say, I wait for the Lord. Therefore, I will inherit the land. And I will delight myself in abundant prosperity. I want to just declare once again. Say, the law of God is within my heart. The law of the Lord is within my heart. And is propelling me towards righteousness. I do that which is good. Just. Holy, righteous. I do that which is good. I dwell in the land and I cultivate faithfulness. Say, my delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law I meditate day and night. Therefore I shall prosper. Say, the lines have fallen for me in good places. I have a good heritage. I have a good heritage. Now I want you to declare, say, the devil can't hold me down. My background can't hold me down. The devil can't hold me down. My background can't hold me back. I have been destined for success. I have been destined for victory. Say, victory is my portion. Victory is my portion. I seek only the kingdom of the Lord, and I follow after his righteousness. And all other things are added unto me. I want to declare, say, all other things are added unto me. Because God surrounds me with favor as with a shield. Declare, say, the Lord surrounds me with favor as with a shield. Because I have set my eyes upon him. I feel we just say this again. Say, my trust is in the Lord alone. My trust is not in America. It's not in my degrees. It's not in my political connections. It's not in those that I know. But my trust is in the Lord. And he will satisfy my mouth with good things. Say that again. Say, the Lord surrounds me with favor as with a shield. Let me explain that. Let me explain that so that you can declare it convincingly again. You know, a few years ago, you know, I was coming. My chief and I went to do a job in Asaba. Because there was ghostly when we were going. She flew in from Lagos. So we were supposed to just drive to Asaba. All right? Finish it and then come back. All right? And then she was still by in our house in Enugu here before going back to Lagos. So that day, we were held up in Onitsha for hours. So by the time we got to Asaba, it was already late. Those people were even, in fact, they thought she wasn't coming again. So anyway, so we had to do the work at night. By the time we finished, we stayed over in Asaba. So early next morning, all right, I stayed with one of my friends. So because my chief had to go back to Lagos very early. So very early in the morning, I ran down to go and pick her from the hotel where she was staying so that we can come back to Enugu. Very early in the morning. I mean, by 5:30, we were out of Asaba, coming to Enugu. That was very early in the morning. So we got to Oji River around 6:30 or something like that, or past 6. All right? Now, this is what the Bible calls favor. Now, I did not know then that there were armed robbers in front. As we're driving, I just saw one small girl. Now, whether it was an angel or a human being, I cannot tell. But I saw one small girl run out of the bush into the center of the road, flagged us down, and then ran back into the bush. Now, that's what the Bible calls favor. Now, I didn't know why she did that. I think the person just, once, look, if I assess the age, that little girl could not have been more than 12 years. The person dashed out of the bush, came out, slided, you know, to the near the road, and then flagged us down, and then ran back inside. I was driving what they call a flatboat, Mercedes 230. And I was really racing. We wanted to catch the flight by 7:30 in Enugu, so we're running badly. So I didn't stop, because why somebody just stopped me suddenly and I'll stop. But that did something for me. It made me wonder. So I took my foot off the accelerator. I allowed the car to slow down. So I asked my chief that, what was that girl saying? I said, well, she didn't get the point too. We're just looking. Well, then suddenly it struck me that the cars in front of me were parked in the center of the road. And I got the point. Instantly, you know, I braked and then I turned, all right? And that's how God delivered us that day. The point I'm making here is this. Listen. He said, the Lord surrounds the righteous with what? Favor. I didn't know that young lady. She doesn't know who's coming. She just ran to the road and showed me favor. And that was a deliverance from the troubles ahead. He said, the Lord surrounds the righteous with favor as with a shield. I remember one of my students once. In fact, I said, whoever is this person? I told the classmates, go and find this person for me. So they say it's a young lady. They went to call her. I said, tell me this prayer you prayed during this exam. That was all I said. And he told me the story. Do you know why? Because I saw a student who had failed pass for one very funny reason. I can't give you the details. But that it was quarreled in the examiner's meeting. They said, this candidate should not really pass. They said, okay, fine. Let her fail. But the external examiner said, don't touch my oral marks. He doesn't know the girl from anywhere. The man, one very solid bro like this from Jos. His own is that, look, you can fail the candidate too. I'm an excellent examiner. But that mark, that was the best student I examined, and that's the highest mark I gave anybody in orals. You are not removing half a pin from it. I can't give you the details of how we do some of the when we are considering marks during exam at the end. Because person failed to borderline. We can't return the marks like that. You either pass the person or fail properly. So the man said, fine, go ahead. But my oral mark stays. He doesn't know the girl from anywhere. It became, the point was I became quarrel. Dr. Sitchi is a very nice, cool man. He raised his voice. He said, no, prof. I'm very sorry. You can do whatever you have to do. I don't mind. But this marks this. When I saw the amount of fight that was going on, I said, I beg, go and call me who this prayer warrior is. Do you get my point? The young lady passed because of favor. And I told her, favor is not as if, I don't know what happened though. What God did was that she went for the exam, and during the orals, she did better than everybody else the man examined. But it didn't tally, as it were, with the previous performance. But God said, don't worry, you will do well in this exam, and I'll let you go. And the Lord surrounded the righteous with favor as with a shield. Are you getting the point? One day, there was a day, one reverend sister went for a postgraduate exam, College of Surgeons. And we had this difficult examiner, one prof. It was my lecturer at university, but I'm not a surgeon, so I'm not in that college, postgraduate level. But he normally doesn't come for exam. That day he showed up for exam, and there were three candidates in the nation that year for that particular exam. And this reverend sister had come like one or two times before, and she didn't pass it like her third or fourth attempt. So the examiners were feeling sorry for her, like, Beleo. So they told themselves that, let's just make an exception and just pass this lady for passing sake. So this difficult examiner came and said no. You know his own reason? He said, there are three candidates. This one got the worst mark. Why should she pass? They explained the logistics in this third attempt. He said, wait, I understand that. But it is not righteous to jump somebody above the two people in front of her. Oh, I forgot that the three people were destined to fail that exam. But the man stumbled in and said, well, the Reverend Sister can pass, so I don't mind. But whoever is ahead of her must pass too. At the end of the day, that was how three people passed, where three people were supposed to fail. You understand my point? The people who fought for them, they don't know. In fact, I only happen to have heard this story because the man told the story. That's a difficult prof. I just heard him tell the story. They will never know how the Lord walked behind. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm saying the word when the Bible says that he surrounds the righteous with favor. As with what? A shield, a protection, a deliverance. Therefore, let's declare it again. Say, the Lord surrounds me with favor as with a shield.
The Lord surrounds
me with favor as a shield. Say, favor is working on my behalf. Good is happening to me. Because my love is set upon the Lord. Listen, say, I'm not afraid of people. I do not fear their customs. Listen to this. I'm not saying I don't respect my father. Say, my father is not my fear. Only the Lord is my fear. Listen, my professor is not my fear. Only the Lord is my fear. My boss is not my fear. Only the Lord is my fear. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just worship the Lord and give him thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your goodness. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your mercies. We give you thanks for the good things you are doing in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good.